Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 12, Text 15. Yasman nodvijate loko lokan nodvijate chayaha harsha marsha bhayodvegair mukto yah sah chame priyaha. He by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. Purport. A few of a devotee's qualifications are further being described. No one is put into difficulty, anxiety, fearfulness or dissatisfaction by such a devotee. Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he does not act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. At the same time, if others try to put a devotee into anxiety, he is not disturbed. It is by the grace of the Lord that he is so practiced that he is not disturbed by any outward disturbance. Actually, because a devotee is always engrossed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service, such material circumstances cannot move him. Generally, a materialistic person becomes very happy when there is something for his sense gratification and his body. But when he sees that others have something for their satisfaction, sense gratification, and he hasn't, he is sorry and envious. When he is expecting some retaliation from an enemy, he is in a state of fear, and when he cannot successfully execute something, he becomes dejected. A devotee who is always transcendental to all these disturbances is very dear to Krishna. Yasman nodvijate loko lokan nodvijate chayaha harsha marsha bhayodvegair mukto yasa chame priyaha. He by whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. This is continuing the list of some of the qualities that endear a devotee to Krishna. In the previous verses, Advishta Sarva Bhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha. The devotee doesn't hate anyone or any living being, and is friendly and merciful to all. So then naturally, he doesn't put anyone into anxiety. We find the whole of material existence, one living being is putting another into anxiety, and that just may be the very nature of the way their psychophysical properties are set up. The worm is in the ground and the bird is trying to pull the worm out of the ground, and the bird is putting the worm in anxiety. Meanwhile, a cat is coming to attack the bird and putting the bird into anxiety. The insect, the frog is putting the insect into anxiety, and the snake is putting the frog into anxiety, and the mongoose is putting the snake into anxiety. There's the food chain. The biologists have come up with this term, the food chain. One jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being eats another. And then someone else eats that one, and someone else eats that one, and it goes on and on and on like that. And ultimately, Grasishnu, Krishna, he eats everyone. Grasishnu Prabhavishnu cha. Then again he brings back into being. So material life means anxiety, difficulty, and among the three types of difficulty, there's adhibhautik klesh, adhyatmik klesh, that which is produced from one's own mind and body. Adhibhautik klesh is that which is produced by other living beings, and adhidaivik klesh is that which comes by natural disturbances, or better understood, as ordained by the demigods, such as excessive heat, excessive cold, too much rain, not enough rain, earthquakes, and so on. Natural disturbances. So it's almost inevitable that one living being puts another into difficulty or gives disturbance to others. The Jains, they have raised non-violence to the idea of ahimsa, not giving harm to others, to the highest extent. The Buddhists, they talk about it mostly. Ahimsa paramo dharma. They say the topmost dharma is ahimsa, which means, it's translated as non-violence, or similar to advaishta. Advaishta means not an attitude of one, not even an attitude of wanting to harm others. So most of the people in the world who consider themselves Buddhists, they modify this principle by eating meat and fish, but they'll never kill any being, but they'll have other people kill the living beings for them. And in this way, they get around it. They get around they have the idea that it's all right to eat meat if someone else kills. But you shouldn't, it's not that you should pay someone to kill the animal for you either, but the butcher just happens to have in his shop all these dead animals, and, well, what can you do? They're already dead. So that's a rationalization. But Jains, they're much more serious about that, and then therefore they'll sweep the road, not all of them, but those who are sadhus and sadhvis, they'll sweep the ground in front of them so that they don't tread on any insect. They might kill the insect by sweeping it also. That's also possible. Maybe they also recognize that there are limits to what you can do. They'll put a cotton cloth over their mouth and face so they don't breathe any insects. Of course, in the production of the cotton, so many insects might have been killed also. So it's impossible to completely avoid. So this not putting others into anxiety means not deliberately, and that is also qualified in Bhagavatam by the statement nāti hiṃsrena, the quality of a devotee, not excessive violence, because to completely avoid giving difficulty or putting others into trouble, it's not possible. One might do so even without intending to. Sometimes it happens. There's a misunderstanding, someone misunderstands someone's intentions and they become disturbed. Or someone does something which they throw their cigarette stub in a waste paper bin and the waste paper bin catches on fire and the whole house burns down. They didn't mean to burn the house down, but they did anyway. And caused anxiety to others in this way. So a devotee is a nice guy. That should be expected. Religious person, they're expected to be nice. And here, this list of qualities, Krishna explains this list of qualities, and it's understood that by doing so, Krishna is also, he's not just saying, well, people are like that, I like them. But he's also, in this way, indicating what qualities we should try to develop and giving us instruction. So that if you're thinking, let me go and put someone into anxiety, and you're saying, oh, wait a minute, Krishna doesn't like that. All right, I won't do it. So by remembering these instructions, one can become dear to Krishna. Of course, it's mostly no one thinks, let me put someone into anxiety, but they may think, well, if I act like this toward that person, I might put them in anxiety like this, unnecessarily put them in anxiety. Of course, Hanuman, he put Ravana into a lot of anxiety, although Ravana would never admit it. This in Tamil Nadu, there's the Tirumangai Alva. He, with his sword, he was fighting and killing and stealing for Krishna. So he put a lot of people into anxiety. Srila Prabhupada put people into anxiety. He would send them off, okay, you're sitting here happily in the temple, all right, go off, go to Japan. No Krishna devotee had been to Japan, at least in recent or known history. Go there and start preaching, start a center. I know one of my godbrothers many years ago, he told me, because his nature is to be very jolly and happy and not disturbed by anything, and his GBC said, I want to put you in anxiety. So he made it. Because he was jolly and happy, but happy-go-lucky means he didn't bother too much about anything. And whether anything went right or wrong, or whether he got up in the morning or not. He says, oh, 6 o'clock. Oh, okay, time to get up. So his GBC said, I put you in anxiety. Okay, you organize Rath Yatra. I put you in charge of organizing Rath Yatra. So he got a lot of anxiety like that at Rath Yatra in Amsterdam. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's for the sadhaka, the practicing devotee, there should be a lot of, there's some pressure to, there are so many rules. Get up early in the morning, chant your rounds, don't eat chocolates. Well, I think it's okay to don't eat chocolate. We can make so many arguments why we should eat chocolates. And don't eat chocolate. Don't have pet dogs. Well, Krishna had two pet dogs. Don't have pet dogs. Anyone who keeps a dog in the house is a chandala, according to Shastra. There's so many rules to follow. And especially in an ashram, you have to be very strict about this. Otherwise, it just becomes, instead of being an ashram, it becomes an ashram. Shram means work, ashram means no work, and ashram means lots of work. It means not work. So ashram life has to be very strict. You may say, well, there are concessions for grihasthas, but not concessions that do whatever you like, whenever you like, however you like. Otherwise, there's no spiritual life. Without rules and regulations, there's no spiritual life. If it's just, like in the West, there's this whole thing about being spiritual but not religious. That means you just feel yourself to be spiritual. And you have no commitment to anything. Rascaldom. And then, but these people who are spiritual but not religious, they're very concerned about being nice. It's all superficial, but they'll be very nice and say wonderful to each other a lot. Use words like wonderful and beautiful and awesome and words like this. and always smile and be happy on a very superficial platform, but nothing serious about spiritual life. Just like I saw a short video of the so-called Krishnadas, who's become somewhat famous in ISKCON circles, although he's a rascal number one, at the so-called Bhakti Fest in Southern California. And there's an interview with him, and although he's probably about 60 years old, he had a beautiful young girl with a short skirt sitting on his lap. And they were both saying how beautiful this festival is going to be and how wonderful it's going to be. So if he point out, you're just a rascal. You're supposed to be doing, you're saying you're doing bhakti, but you're just a womanizer. Well, that wouldn't, they don't like real Hare Krishna devotees because they don't like that. They just like the bhakti. They like the feeling good. And feel good with chanting Hare Krishna? Okay, that's very nice. And feel good with a beautiful woman on your lap? That's also very good. It's all bliss as far as they're concerned. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spoke about this. Nake Tilak Galai Mala. Ah, what is that? Pare Bala. What is it? No, Kali Chala is the line, but then Kole should be something like that. Kole te Pare Bala. You have Tilak on your nose and Kantimala on your throat, and on your lap you have someone else's wife. And the word comes there, Kali Chala. He's a disciple of Kali Yoga, doing bhakti, is a disciple in the parampara, a disciple of Kali. Or maybe Kali also. So some strictness is required. Devotee is also very nice, but he's not putting others into anxiety. Well, these bhakti fest pseudo devotees, they've put it down to the an art form, not putting others into anxiety, just saying wonderful, nice, and be happy, and all this kind of thing. But be nice on that platform, in the name of bhakti, they're going to hell. So devotee is naturally a very nice person. Yasya asti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvari gunais tatra samasite suraha. All the great qualities of godly persons manifest in someone who is an akinchana bhakta. Means he has nothing. He has nothing, only Krishna. Not interested in anything else. Only interested in serving Krishna. So a devotee must be the nicest of persons. Krishna is the nicest person, and devotees, they naturally take on his qualities, but in the life of sadhana, there must be strictness also. Otherwise, if we're just, nice. Well, he doesn't want to get up, doesn't want to chant any round, doesn't want to do any service. But anyway, let's be nice to him. But that nice to him means get him up, get him chant his round, get him do some service. We used to be very strict. Yes. I've seen in the early days of someone doesn't want to get up in the morning, take him in his sleeping bag, throw him down the stairs, literally. Someone else doesn't want to get up, and he drag him along the floor into the shower. And he'll stay inside in the sleeping bag, determined not to get out, and then throw him in the shower, in the sleeping bag also, with the shower on. So the devotees used to be so kind. that they would it wouldn't be tolerated. You don't want to get up? Well, no choice. I mean, this was for the real hardcore non-Mangalarti attenders. It's not that someone on the, if they missed occasionally, they'd get this treatment, but for those who were dedicated to never getting up for Mangalarti, who would have a, they could have a t-shirt, just like they have this t-shirt, I love someone, they could have an I hate Mangalarti t-shirt, they could have something. They're determined, they're very determined in Krishna consciousness, determined never to go to Mangalarti. So, actually, of course, they shouldn't live in the ashram, but then you could say that's one kind of mercy also, to give them the chance to serve Krishna. So, should we be nice, or should we be strict, or don't put others into anxiety, but then to preach Krishna consciousness means there's going to be a lot of anxiety. To practice Krishna consciousness in the modern world means there is anxiety. The family members may not want you to practice Krishna consciousness, but if you're going to practice, then you're going to have to put them into anxiety. So what do you do? Then, well, I saw Bhagavad Gita, I shouldn't put anyone into anxiety, so I won't. But then material life means putting others into anxiety also. You can't avoid it. And even if you are the most popular person in the world, but you're not Krishna conscious, but what's the use? Now there's all this hoo-ha about Sachin Tendulkar. He's retired in a blaze of glory. What a great person. What? He's a completely useless person because no Krishna consciousness. His life is wasted, spoiled. So he's apparently quite a nice guy by personality. But what's the use? What's the use of being nice and not Krishna conscious? On the other hand, one who is Krishna conscious, he should also be, that means, even though maybe strict, but his intention is to serve Krishna. We find in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Vallabha Bhatta would come daily in the assembly of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And Vallabha Bhatta would always say something every day, trying to trick or catch or refute Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would smash him every time. So then Vallabha Bhatta got discouraged from this and he stopped coming. But Vallabha Bhatta wanted to read his writings, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't listen. So Vallabha Bhatta caught Gadadhar Pandit, because Gadadhar was known as a very soft and gentle person. So although Gadadhar knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't like this, at the same time he felt he didn't want to be impolite to Vallabha Bhatta. So he listened, he would listen to Vallabha Bhatta. And when the other devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about this, they ostracized Gadadhar. So Gadadhar was just being nice, but the other devotees considered this Vallabha, he's a puffed up upstart who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has rejected, and why is Gadadhar giving him any sympathy? Of course, I'm just speaking in terms of the pastimes now. We understand also that Vallabha is a great devotee also, but this is how the pastimes played out at that point. So eventually everything was resolved and Gadadhar was allowed back in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, but the comment there was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, they are bisham, which means severe. They're very severe in their nature. So both things are there, nice and not nice. That, oh, we had that verse. What is that? What is that? Kusamapi kamalani vajradapi kotor, something like vajradapi kotorani mridani komalamapi, something like that. Soft as a flower, hard as a thunderbolt. I should learn that verse sometime before I leave this body. I mean, I always half state it and get it half right, and or maybe more than half wrong. But anyway, the idea is there. What's the next line? Lokotarani. Lokotaranam charitam. So, yeah. Well, there's always another life. Maybe I can join the Gurukul in my next life and learn some verses properly. Now, why don't you start the Gurukul? Get the Gurukul going, then I can come and join it next time round. Lokotaranam chitangsi ko nu vigyatam Ishvara. Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea. Get the Gurukul going, and it should be well established enough for me to join it next time round, and then I can actually learn some shlokas. Of course, if I'm lucky enough to. Kita janma hao jata tu adas. If I'm lucky enough to be an insect in the Gurukul. So both things are there. So we find that devotees who are very strict, and they may not also be able to bring others in Krishna consciousness. It's often those who are more flexible who are able to bring others in. But if you're over flexible, then you can bring people in, but they don't come up, because they bring them in and then there's no pressure to bring them up. Disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in remembering Srila Prabhupada, we don't usually hear them talk about Srila Prabhupada was giving class and he spoke about this and he spoke about that, about the three modes of nature, although that was what Srila Prabhupada was doing most of the time, was speaking philosophy. Hari Shari Prabhu, in his Transcendental Diary series, he gives a summary of the classes that Srila Prabhupada gave each day, which is that makes his study of Srila Prabhupada very well-rounded, because if it's all the pastime, so to speak, and it gives an incomplete picture, because Srila Prabhupada was speaking philosophy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, day and night, literally. But we often hear, well, Srila Prabhupada, he was so kind like this, and he appreciated and this and that. They remember all that. So Srila Prabhupada is very accommodating. He could be very strict and strong also, but he was very accommodating, and people, devotees, remember he was so charming. Now, what about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? We hear descriptions of him, we don't hear charming, accommodating, nothing like it. If people asked him for initiation, he would beat them with an umbrella. That was his standard response. He was very, very strong. He wasn't preaching, per se. His life was his preaching. This is the actual standard of Krishna, of akinchan bhakti, nothing but Krishna. Those who want to perform yukta vairagya, they should first study the life of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj to understand what Vairagya is. Then comes the question of Yukta Vairagya. Not that first of all you study the life of some big sense enjoyer and you think how I can live like that in the name of Krishna consciousness. But rather how I can live like Gaur Kishore while executing the preaching mission. That's Yukta Vairagya. Not imitating the sense enjoyers. So Gaur Kishore wasn't nice. Who said he wasn't? He's the nicest person that ever existed. Nice means he's fully absorbed in love of Krishna. But people can't appreciate his niceness because they have the idea that nice means that you indulge them in their misconceptions and their plans for sense gratification. That's what people generally think that nice is. The whole conception of religion all over the world is completely bogus. Whatever goes on in the name of religion. Priti vite jato kichu dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this koit of dharma, he commented that whatever goes on in the world in the name of religion, according to Bhagavad, it's all simply cheating. It's just, there are different kinds of cheating, and chal means, that would be translated in English as a ruse, a trick. This whole idea that, well, you be nice to people and make them feel good, there's like giving charity to a drunkard by giving him wine. So you think, oh, and the drunkard thinks, oh, wonderful, such a nice person. He'll praise you, but it's not helping him and it's not helping you. He thinks it's helping him because, so nice to drink wine, but he's going to hell by drinking wine. So this idea of being nice on the mundane platform, that's not actually being nice. Of course, being nasty on the mundane platform, that's also not good. But the result, it comes to the same thing anyway. Either if we indulge people in their misconceptions, they go to hell. And if we behave nastily with them, we give them a little taste of hell anyway. It's not our responsibility to do that. So we also become sinful by doing so. Someone who is a naturally amiable disposition, and that is engaged in the service of Krishna, that will help to bring others to Krishna. Whereas if someone comes to Krishna consciousness, but they themselves have a somewhat harsh and maybe envious disposition, because people come to Krishna consciousness, where everyone comes with different anarthas and sanskars, different combinations and permutations of materialistic bad qualities. So that can be purified when one is actually thinking how to benefit others in Krishna consciousness. There's also a danger in Krishna consciousness of thinking that, well, just to be polite and nice and helpful, that in itself constitutes Krishna consciousness. That in itself constitutes saintliness. But no, someone who is a neophyte devotee with many anarthas is better situated than someone who is by nature very nice but no interest in Krishna consciousness. connection with Krishna has to be there. Without Krishna, then everything is one big zero, all illusion. Of course, if you have many zeros and you put a one in front, that Srila Prabhupada gave that example many times, then you get a big number. But if you only have zeros, then it all comes to zero. And even if you have no good qualities, but you have Krishna, then you only have the one, you're still ahead of someone who's got lots of zeros. So this devotees must be strict in practicing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, where's the hope of advancement? One can't advance by not following the process. We're given a process to follow that will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't follow, then we don't advance. It's not just by smiling at people that you advance in Krishna consciousness. It can be that by dovetailing one's anarthas in Krishna consciousness that one makes offenses. If someone has a somewhat surly disposition, surly I guess you can say means unpleasant, and one brings that to Krishna consciousness and then behaves in an unpleasant way with devotees, then you can make offenses. So one has to try to overcome that. It's not that, well, I'm a devotee, so I can do whatever I like because Krishna's protecting me. Krishna doesn't say that here. He says, he by whom no one is put into anxiety is very dear to me. So Krishna conscious, to come to the perfectional stage, one has to overcome one's anarthas. Anarthas such as egoistically putting oneself in the center and thus behaving in a less than ideal way with others. But it's also an anartha to think that simply behaving nicely with others is in and of itself saintliness. One can also be attached to having a saintly profile. But how much one is actually surrendering to Krishna, that is the ultimate test. So there are a few thoughts about that. Any questions, please? Yeah. Liberal distributor of Krishna consciousness and conservative practitioner. Yeah, Mahatma Prabhu came up with that formula. The devotee himself should practice very strictly and be very liberal in distributing. So liberal in distributing means we bring people in, but then you have to bring them up means we bring people into Krishna consciousness, but we have to also we also have to give them the rules and regulations so that they can be. Then we'll see actually how serious people are. People who are pious, they'll like to chant Hare Krishna. But how serious they are, we'll see if we try to bring them up some more. Many years ago, must have been 1979, I was in Denmark, where people in general are very nice in their general behavior. So we were in secular dress, kami clothes, as we call it. We're distributing some records for fundraising. So a couple of us, I can't remember, we got a lift, we hitched a ride or something from one place to another. And there was a a young man and his girlfriend, I guess it was. People don't usually bother getting married much over there. So they're asking about us, what are we doing, and this and that, as people do when you hitch a ride. And usually in Denmark, people are happy to meet people from England because they think it's a great country. It's on the other side of the North Sea, whereas their country is just a small country with a small population. So then we said, well, you see, we're monks and we're vegetarians. And this nice guy all of a sudden became not so nice. I don't like anyone to tell me what I have to eat. Didn't say you have to be a vegetarian, but just the word. His nice demeanor suddenly changed. Just a thought to remember there. So liberal distributor, yeah, it means we give the opportunity to others, but that liberal distributor doesn't mean that we water down the process. We make it available to others and we try to bring others in, but ultimately we have to tell them, if you're going to be Krishna conscious, you have to do this, 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 and this. And then we'll find the number of people gradually becoming less. But those who come through, then they will be actually benefited. As Srila Prabhupada said, in India there are millions of devotees of Krishna. And we'll see so many people, they'll go to Tirupati and Nathdwara and Vrindavan. But serious devotees? Not so many. People will walk up the hill, Tirumala, and wait in line for a long time for darshan. So they're prepared to go to great difficulty for darshan. But if you ask them to stop drinking coffee because that's not part of Krishna consciousness, I think very few would agree to do that. Or even to chant one mala every day. Some of them might, but time to time they're prepared to do some difficulty in the service of the Lord. But that also, they're mostly thinking what they can get. But if we ask them to seriously take up Krishna consciousness, we'll find much less are prepared to do that. Of course, that may be a very good place to preach also. They're also inclined toward Vishnu Bhakti. I'm not saying they're all demons, not at all. They're all very pious people, inclined toward bhakti. But to bring them from that general inclination to commitment, to actually purify their life and become pure devotees of Krishna, then many will be not so keen. If you preach in your lifetime, you'll have all kinds of experiences. Many years ago also, in Hubli in Karnataka, I was in the house of some rich man who was, he called me and said, so you see, I'm daily doing puja of Narayana. Then he started telling me about all this work he was doing, making phone booths for crippled people. And I said, actually, this is all useless. I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was to that intent. And that's just helping the body and people anyway. They without Krishna consciousness, then they're wasting their life. So he got angry, and then he got angrier. And I didn't say anything about Narayana, but he just came out with, well, I was saying this idea of Daridra Narayana, and he's Lakshmipati. He said, oh, Narayana, he's also Niraka. The question of whether he's Sakar or Niraka hadn't been raised at all, but he just wanted to banish the actual Narayana. It means he's doing daily Narayana puja, but he's very puffed up at how I'm helping so many people. And so his daily puja is like Jarasandha doing puja. Jarasandha was also doing Vishnu puja. But when Vishnu came directly in front of him, he would directly manifest, then he wanted to attack and kill him. Yeah. Our movement is a voluntary movement. How far can we push people? As far as they agree to go, I guess. But for ashrams, there have to be standards. And people, they should be aware of the standards. And they should know that if you want to join, this is the standard. And even for initiation, they may not be living in ashram. Initiation doesn't mean that chant 16 rounds, follow more or less four regulated principles, and just do whatever you like. There have to be standards also. People should know that. For those who are not living in ashrams. Otherwise, what's the point? Where's the benefit in that? Otherwise, there are so many people giving initiation here. It's here in Andhra Pradesh. So many people are initiated into Vaishnavism by the Chinnajiya Swami. Because he has no standards, actually. I think probably all the people initiated by him are vegetarians. And they have, although I don't think he demands that of anyone. And they have a general idea of Vishnu Bhakti, but there's no process to purify them. So you could say, well, they're better off in as much as they're not gross demons and they have some idea of Vishnu Bhakti. So, all right, that's good, but it's not... Diksha means Atma Samarpan. But without that, then there's no real meaning to initiation. One has a general idea that I'm a Vaishnava. Okay, but what does it mean to have a guru? Guru means to come under the discipline of the guru and accept that discipline in one's life. Otherwise, it becomes like some social affair. So I'm not saying that what he's doing is all bogus or anything like that. It's good. Let them identify with Vaishnavism, but it's not going to carry them back to Godhead. There has to be some purification process and dedication. It's to be Atma Samarpan. Prapatti, as is said, it's the usual term in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Of course, they have different ideas about that also, about what that means. But Rupa Goswami has very well defined that. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakam adhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. That one should be cultivating a Krishna consciousness in a manner that is favorable. In other words, in a manner that Krishna likes. Not, well, what do I like to do? And then, all right, oh, and there's Krishna also, yes. Yes, oh, yeah, yeah, Krishna. Yeah, 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 Krishna, yeah. But rather, Krishna is our life. We don't have anything else. Not jnana or karma, but everything for Krishna. Krishnate kila cheshta. Everything, all endeavors for the sake of Krishna. That's the Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada came to spread all over the world. Not the watch TV, drink a soda pop and chant Hare Krishna if you remember to do so. Not that kind of Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Ladies, anything? No. All right then. Hare Krishna. Sri Jagannath Rasi Atra Ki Jai.